Amen. Wow. Got all the Bibles here as well. I was going to preach Tom. But we're going to see how things. We're going to see how this service is going to go. I honestly, this morning, want to share my heart. Each time I say that, I feel relaxed and I want to talk. I don't want to preach at you. I want to communicate with you. I want us to have heart-to-heart discussion this morning. It's very, very important. I got three dreams in the last couple days that are profoundly riveting and calling me to a different perspective about what is going on all over. I want us to take time to listen carefully. Number one, this summer will be different for every one of us. The last time, one of the words that the Lord gave was about family spending extended time with one another. They don't even have enough time to spend together. They were having extended times of just gathering. And then God reiterated this with a dream. We're praying and I saw this banquet. I saw the back, decks of many people all over. Filled with people spreading out table and having barbecue and having fun. Are you hearing me? Get your barbecues ready for the summer. We're going to be having parties. Enough of lockdown and lock-ins. You guys are not excited. We want our lives back. Can we say amen to that? And so God is giving us this golden opportunity again to remind us and to revive us and to encourage us. So a lot of people in depression. Are you hearing me? You are one blessed people that are still gathering. So other places they are not. People have just thrown in the towel. I'm done with anything in life. I just want to die. But the good news is God is watching over his people. And he wants them to have summer time with him. Are you hearing me? So family gathering is going to be back fully. People that have not gathered together before want to gather together. And you probably have to tell them, I think you need to go home now. Because they are going to be hanging out for long. And it's a good thing. Secondly, and this is very sobering for me, the intercessors in this house are, I just want to thank you guys, all of you. And please, those of you that think you're not praying or you're not in the intercessor, join. There's fun in praying. I'm telling you this. One of the intercessors had a dream where the premier literally came to her house and was having relaxation in the bathtub of this woman. Well, guess what it is? It has nothing to do with anything sexual. It has everything to do with rest. The intercessor had prepared a place that made it comfortable for this man to say, I want to come and rest in this place. Prayers will prepare a resting place, a place where God's glory can rest. And that's the reason why when she had that dream, I knew exactly where this was going. It was about that time that our premier was at the point of not standing in every, it has too many pressures on him, and he was wobbling. And then gradually, after some time, he just came straight. It was like he had a backbone of steel. And he says, this one won't go in. Because the church took lead. Don't ever discountenance the prayers that are being said. It is effectual, working powerfully behind the scenes. I want you to know that. We're calling prayer, fasting, prayer. Oh, well, it's just another one. No, no, it's not just another one. The Thursday prayer that we've been praying for the last 2 years is actually producing peaceable fruit of righteousness. It is. So I want you to know that. And the reason why I share that is this. I saw the prime minister just 2 days ago. Tired, beaten. Came to my living room. Sat down, clunk. And I was about to talk to him. He said, guess what? I was kind of selfish in that dream, but God didn't allow me to say what I wanted to say. I was going to tell him, hey, guy, you know, I mean, give me a position now. Come on, I want to be in, you know what I mean? So, but God would not allow me to talk other than this. I just saw his eyes red. He was burdened and tired. Why did I see that? I mean, I would have been, well, God, you know how we go that and say, you know, he's not doing well. Yeah, just clubbing down. No, I'm not clubbing down this morning. I want us to pray this morning. Just like last week, I prayed. I stood in the gap and said, we have sinned. I carried the burden of the nation. I said, we have sinned. We've not done it right. Just that Daniel did. And it was a golden opportunity last week for a shift in the heavenlies, for things to come to normal. But again, when you have too many people around you that are talking to you, they are giving you counsel, your heart is hardened, and pride hardens your heart. And guess what? Your government might implode like Nebuchadnezzar. But that's not the ultimate. God doesn't want that. That's why God is apprehending. I mean, I wish God was giving me some brimstone word, judgment. No. He just said, what are you going to do with him coming to your living room and tired and beaten down? What are you going to do? Guys, what are we going to do? Father, I pray this morning for our prime minister. He's tired. He's worn out. He's beaten. He's just trying to show face. To show that everything is fine and nothing is fine. Everything is imploding. I pray, Father God, for a conviction of the Holy Spirit. I pray for rest. I pray that he will run and run into your rest. Even as he ran and came into my living room. I can't get away from the picture. I saw it clear, very clear. I pray that, Lord, you would convict of righteousness. You will convict that he is there by the choice of God and because God allowed people to pick him. I pray that there will be no manipulation of the House of Commons as the vote go in. The Lord, there will be a shift, a turning in our nation. Total. That even though we thought we're going this way, suddenly things change. And that postponement of the vote was actually your hand for another window of repentance. I pray. In Jesus' name, gospel said, amen. Thirdly, wasn't thinking about this just this morning again. Woke up with a very clear dream. Not dream. My eyes were wide open. And I want to pray for Elfrida. Very clear. I knew I had to pray for her. There was this, I mean, the bowl was so full of light, it was like a laser beam. It was shining upon, it was like you want to go under surgery, you know, that light just comes. And that's the kind of light I see. And I just began to pray. I said, Lord, the same miracle you gave to Pastor Ray. And by the way, Pastor Ray is going to be coming to the church very soon. I said, Lord, the same prayer we pray for Pastor Ray, the same grace that brought somebody at that stage of cancer to healing, that same God, that same grace is what I'm asking for Elfrida. Elfrida is part of the body of Christ. She doesn't attend this fellowship, but She's a member of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, because you brought her to my remembrance, and very clear, and I heard the name Elfrida, I'm asking for the grace of heaven. Let the laser beam of heaven flood her body and bring healing and cast off that cancer now. And Lord, we appropriate the grace that you placed upon Ray for healing and reversing everything that was death and the shroud of death. And you brought life back from death. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you just love that? I love it. I love it. Amen. 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 Now, we were singing this morning, Yahweh, Yahweh. We went on and on and on. What I was hearing in my own tongue coming out of my own lips is your way or no way. In our nation, your way or no way. That's what we're declaring today. That was what I was hearing. I'm not saying we're not here, we're not talking, we're not speaking out your way, but it's your way or no way. So Lord, let it be your way. As we declare from the Ecclesia as a governmental people over our nation, your way and no way. Amen? So while we're doing that, the reason why, you know, I imagine what was going on in Moses' mind when he said, I'm content in knowing, I mean, Exodus says it very well in the book of Psalms. He was content in knowing God's ways. And the children of Israel were all about the miracles of God, the acts of God. He wanted your way. Your way. Moses was a man of God's way. I want your way. If you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us there. He was a man of God's way. And that's what we want in our nation today. His way and no way. Amen. This morning, not for short lack of what I want to preach, I know I'm navigating something in the spirit. I know where I'm going. And I want to follow him. I don't want to do my own thing. It's easy for me to just open your Bible. No. I want to navigate with you. There's dialogue. The shepherds that were watching their flocks by night were in perplexity because of the times they were living in. It was a time when the Romans dominated Israel in Jerusalem. They took it over, literally. I mean, there's layers of history when you go to Jerusalem. They really, one foundation after the other. Byzantine Empire came, Ottoman Turks came and took that over the place and tear down some things. And so that you can actually dig and dig, and there are almost 7 layers of history in Jerusalem. Most of the places they are working on are hanging places because it's been built over and built over and built over because there's layers of history. And archaeologists are trying their best. They can't uncover everything. They were in this perplexity of times because the Romans were dominating them. Much like what is happening today in our country, that we are in perplexity about all this whole thing about vaccine or no vaccine, mandates or no mandates, and all of this has almost turned the whole nation apart. And they separated families, and we don't want separation. The science has proven that we cannot, science is not our God. God is the God of science. Science is following God. And so when we make that which is the brass, we make it the gold in the house of God. Guess what is happening? Brass is an imitation of gold. Gold is divinity. Brass is mankind, man-made, that you put together to substitute for gold. So what has been happening is that It has decided, it's almost turned our nation apart. It's trying to divide us as a nation. It's trying to pit us against one another. Even so, much so, more than the whole thing about division between homosexual or no homosexual, whatever. This is the most divisive in our country today. Vaccine or no vaccine. And we've proven now, it's been proven now, all the vaccines are no vaccines, and what's been happening? We are finding out that our science is not accurate. And we have to revise and revise and revise everything so we can catch up. And I'm not against science. Guys, I'm not against science at all. But science that doesn't come under governance and takes it beyond the fact that humanity wants to place himself in the place of God is what I don't subscribe to. And that is what is going on. So this... shepherds, was while they were watching their flocks by night, and then the angel of the Lord appeared, and what did he announce? Hey! Unto you is born on this day a Savior. In where? Jesus, Jerusalem. What? Unto us is born what? A Savior. Glory to God in the highest. They were what? It's like, oh, that's good news. That's the gospel. So for them, it's like, hey, we're going to have a king that's going to take over. He's going to, you know, bring his government, and we are going to have some real good time, and this Roman domination will be over. Oh, no, they missed it. Because they thought his government was going to come with fire and brimstone and fight and clubs and this and that and guns. No, he wanted to birth his kingdom in the hearts of men. Totally contrary to... we, as a nation, if there was an invasion by a nation, we want to go back and take that nation and destroy them and clear them out and take over. Isn't it? That's the way we do war. God's way of warring, especially what is going on now, is that God is not going to come to Canada and wipe out our government. No, he's not going to do that. That's not the way he does it. His kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom will come just like you don't even expect it. Just like it talks in the Bible, the parable of the kingdom. Jesus Christ says, I liken the kingdom to this, to that. Like a seed. A sower takes a seed and sows it. Kingdom? Well, I thought kingdom was invasion. It was to take over. It was to do. No, no. God's kingdom doesn't come with fight like that. It doesn't. And he showed it when Jesus Christ was born. Here's the King of glory. Here's heaven that came to earth and crammed himself into a manger, a lowly place, a place where you and I would not even go, a place where you would not even want to go and take your and say, I want to give birth here. No, he crowded himself. He was King of glory. He had everything going for him. He had heaven backing, angels, legions of them. But he decided to come in humility. And that's the way God wants to come into Canada and change our government. Changing of government is not from without, it's from within. Tell me, how did he become born again? How did you allow the governance of God to dominate your life, that what rules your life now is not you, but the one that is on the inside of you, because you allowed and opened your heart to him. He came in to sup with you. He's now the governor of your life, and you're submitted to him day by day. That is how the government of the kingdom of God is established in society. It's not through guns and all through what's going on. Am I against the gathering there? Oh no, that was peaceful. We have it within our constitution that allows us to express our views in a non-threatening way. And those guys were not threatening in any way. They were singing, they were worshiping. Women, men, old women were serving food. They were doing everything. What is wrong with that? That we think they're terrorists. I mean, how do we label ourselves as terrorists because we're expressing ourselves as to God-given and inalienable right that allows me to say, I don't like this? Is it wrong to say I don't like something? Do I have to take everything that's been given to me? Even the hospital, I could say, doctor, I'm not taking that medication. I have the right and the choice. Well, here's the good news. The kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink. It's in power and the demonstration of God's power and spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through Christ to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. I'm telling you, a lot is accomplished on the knees of prayer. Are you hearing me? A lot is accomplished on the knees of prayer. All throughout the gospel, Jesus Christ preached one thing. It was about the kingdom. Luke chapter 4, 43. I must preach the goodness of the kingdom of God to the other towns also because this is why I was sent. I must preach the goodness of the kingdom. What was this goodness Jesus was talking about? He said, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Mark 1:15. And then Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the goodness of the kingdom and healing every sickness and diseases. What was happening on the streets of Ottawa and what is happening right at the hill was simply announcement of the kingdom of God, high praise of God, and enthroning King Jesus of our nation. You know why they think it's violent? This is not the first time you would see the church arise and they said they were violent. Up until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And only what? The violent take it by force. The violence we are talking about is not taking guns. We were not, but our weapon is so mighty and it's making the government to tremble. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. King James was so afraid of the church that he says, don't put ecclesia in the Bible. Change it and put church. Because what? The name ecclesia means that there's a government that's running parallel to the government of British Empire. It won't happen because they're going to take over. We know that they don't carry guns. They don't carry nothing. But if those guys are allowed to pray as ecclesia, they're going to take over. So don't allow them to call themselves ecclesia. Let them label themselves church. A place where they gather and just kind of eat and just talk and gossip. But we found out exactly that we are not doing that. This is a house of worship prayer, a governmental house, ecclesia of the government of the kingdom of heaven, where we don't carry guns, but we carry prayers. And the word of God and high praise. And so, those kind of things, when you take it out from here and you take it to the streets, it terrifies the enemy. And they call you terrorists. Yeah, well, terrorists in the spirit. Shakaba. No wonder they will say you're terrorists. You're not carrying guns, you're not doing anything. You just pray. You just kneel and pray. Well, you got to be afraid of a kneeling woman than a woman that stands. Every person that kneels, you've got to be afraid of them. Because they are kneeling and petitioning heaven. And it gets the attention. It gets the attention of the government too. That's what is happening. That's why in that dream I saw our prime minister come. Says it's almost like the church is where I can get help and rest. And that's why I pray that prayer. Guys, don't think I am a fan of JT. I'm not. But I'm doing my duty as one called of God to stand in the gap. And sometimes you don't like some people, but you have to pray for them. And may God capture our hearts, all of us, for God to entrust us with divine treasures of heaven about even situations. That's what happened here. Because I've changed, a long time I've changed about even our JT, our prime minister. I mean, if I have to give you my opinion about him, you don't want to hear it. But my opinion doesn't count again. Because opinion is just opinion. You're just self-opinionated. But how about hearing from heaven and seeing what God says about him? He sees him as tired, beaten, and worn out, and he needs rest. And the church can provide that place for him too. Jesus went about throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the goodness of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. What is this testimony to all nations? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he wants to rule. He wants to be the governor of your life. Simple. In fact, Jesus Christ spoke almost exclusively about the kingdom of God. His parables almost always start with a phrase, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God?" To what? He's looking for earthly things by which he can compare the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is like, and he would tell a parable about a man who finds a treasure in a field, or a man who seeks for precious pearly, and of a woman that loses a coin, or of a shepherd who seeks for his lost sheep. That is what the kingdom of God is likened to. God will go after the one and leave the 99 so he can save that one, and that one can become oak tree of righteousness, the planting of God. That is God's economy. No wonder he's going after JT. Why? Because you know he's tired. It's like a little kid plays himself out and he's tired and wants rest. Like, honestly, I mean, why would God, I mean, just this is too clear. I'm seeing the picture. I know exactly where he sat. I saw his red eye. Beaten, worn out. So almost like, maybe I should take my jacket up and just kind of rest. Nearly everything Jesus does or says is to emphasize something about the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come upon you, he says, in Matthew 12:28. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. It's come upon you, it's within you. After his sovereign, Jesus presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom. So the gospel message that Jesus proclaimed was all about the good news of the kingdom of God, or the gospel of the kingdom. What was so good about this news of the kingdom? Well, it may help you to understand that the Jewish people in the first century were longing for a Messiah to come and establish the kingdom of God in Jerusalem. That was what their desire was. We might have properly, say that they were looking for a Messiah who will come to reestablish the kingdom of God in Jerusalem, because what they wanted very desperately was for God to send them a warrior who will form an army and rally the troops, and for the people to violently will overthrow the Roman Empire and set them free from the oppression of a pagan system. And as you can imagine, when they started to believe that Jesus could be their Messiah, that was so exciting for them, they couldn't wait for the revolution to begin and for the regime change to take place in their lifetime. They just wanted that. There was just a little problem. Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah And the kingdom he was announcing wasn't the sort of kingdom they were looking for. So I want you to have a perspective about what is going on in our nation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Canada as it's done in heaven. And what does that look? It's not going to look like you think it's going to look like. Because most of us, our prayer is that let there be let's petition, let's get signatures together. Some people have started sending down something. They said that we need to sign something. It's from the Governor General's office. No, come on, guys. Every time you see anything that says sign something, go back to the website. I went back to the website of the Governor General. There's nothing. No media release. Please, don't just sign documents. Okay? You can't force the kingdom of God by violence or by simply petitioning. Sometimes if God is not initiating, don't do it. Just wait for God. He has a way. How does his kingdom come? It comes just like a farmer who sows a seed, or a woman who took three measures of flour and put in the yeast in it and lifts it, and it swells. It's like, whoa, what happened? It swells. Because why? Something leavened was inside of it that allowed that yeast to start working and work through the dough and expanded it. That's exactly what's happening. There's a measure and an introduction of something divine in what is happening right now. I want you to know. Don't look at what is happening in the House of Commons. Look at what has actually happened in the hearts of men and women on those streets of Ottawa. Beyond just going after the government, something of the kingdom of God, of the government of God, is being enthroned on the hearts of people in that arena. That is far more germane, and that is far more rewarding for God, who will seek that no one perishes, but all will come to the saving knowledge of who? Christ. Yes, Jesus was absolutely looking to bring a regime change. He wants to bring a regime change to his people. He wants to do that for us. But it was one that could take place on the throne of their hearts, not on the throne without. God does not want to come and sit in our parliament and sit on the chair of the Speaker of the House. That's not what he wants. He wants to sit in the heart of the Speaker of the House. He's knocking at the door of the hearts. He's not knocking on the doors of House of Commons. He doesn't need to sit in the House of Commons. He needs to sit in the hearts of men. That is what brings change to society. Because let me tell you, even if this government falls, another government gets up, they still lie to you. And it's temporal. Every government that is ever over this nation is a temporal government. One day, they will be kicked out. Their time will be up. But there's an ever-increasing kingdom. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Look at the other parties. Why? Wanting to stay in power so that they don't take his top position away. NDP. Why? Well, we're just going to support him. We're just going to support him. We're just going to go with him. Those are people that we elected. Guys, let the church know one thing. If the church will be organized, I'm telling you this, and we can have people that are courageous enough to get up, whether they have the qualification or not. Forget about qualification. Most of the people that are your politicians today, they are political jobs. Some of them are political jobbers. Since they graduated from university, they've been in politics. And that's all they know. They don't know anything other than politics. True or not. They have no any other means, any other experience other than politics. It has become a job. And so, for you to stay on the job, you have to, you know what? You got to suck up to some things. You got to bow to some things. You got to compromise some things. You got to allow some things. Otherwise, you're out. So, if the church will rise up, and people like you and I will determine to say, I don't care. I have the heart of God in me. I love this nation. I want to serve this nation. It doesn't matter what it is. You will be a candidate that might actually get into government. And you'll be amazed at the wisdom of God that will be released to you. The church is still not ready. I'm sorry. Why is it that people that lie to us now, we still re-elect them to come and represent us again? And we can't replace them. We can't say, you know what? If you go back to that place, I see your pattern of vote. We need to take them and have a meeting and say, this is the pattern of your record of voting, and you call yourself conservative. You are not. You are just a wolf in sheep's clothing. We are not voting for you again. And take our card and say, look, listen to us. We are not voting for you. Vote them out. But no, we don't. Because they call themselves this, and we think that really they are represented. They're not. The goodness of the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed was simply this. The freedom they longed for was within reach. The freedom we all long for as a nation is within our reach. The opportunity to live in the very presence of the Almighty God as their victorious ruler was already possible. All they had to do was to change their way of thinking and follow the Messiah who urged them to overcome evil with good. We cannot use evil for evil. What is going on? We got to turn the tide and keep loving those that despisefully use us. Those that actually malign the church. Those that do whatever they want to do. We got to walk in the opposite spirit. We got to do it so well that it's convicting. Bless the ones who curse them. Pray for those who deceitfully use them. And love the ones whom they call their worst enemies. You can see why it didn't go so well with the Israelis. Because that's not what they were expecting. I mean, you're telling me to forgive the Romans that actually oppressed us? That's why we got to pray for those politicians that misrepresented us. And pray for them for a change of heart. Because that's not what they were expecting. You mean I forgive them? Yeah. You mean I bless them? Yeah. Don't curse them. Bless them. Whoa. It doesn't feel like, oh, I need to take the gun and and pray. God. All those kind of, you know the kind of prayer I'm talking about, those prayer imprecatory prayers. Prayers of, Lord, judge them and remove them from office. You know, those are, prayers in the Bible too. There are times when you pray imprecatory prayers. Prayers that actually removes. But this is not what the kingdom, this is not what Jesus Christ was telling them. No, you're not praying that kind of prayer. You're going to bless them. You're going to love them. You're going to write them respectfully. You're going to speak to them respectfully. Totally different from the way you and I will do it. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, the people felt the rush of adrenaline and saw visions of waving banners drenched in Roman blood. So, oh, we're going to take over. He just announced that the kingdom of God is here. Whoa, we're going to see the blood of Romans. We're going to see their heads roll on the streets. And Jesus Christ said, wait a minute. They were looking for a temporal physical kingdom. Jesus was talking about an eternal spiritual kingdom that will take root inside of them if they're willing to follow him. God wants to establish his government first here before he can take outside. Exactly. Do it, Lord. And we've got to be patient with God. All the parables is about patience. He left the 99, went after the one sheep, looking for what? Or the lost coin, or a woman sweeping the whole house for just one lost coin. Or someone that found a pearl, or found some treasure in the field and sold everything to purchase that field. So it's talking about dedication and commitment and long suffering. We have similar problems as they had in the days of Israel. When we read verses where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, we hear the place we go after we die. That's not what he's talking about here. In other words, we've been conditioned to say heaven. When we hear the kingdom of God, we think is we're talking about where we're going to be going after we die from here. And Jesus, you better quicken and take us out from this evil world because we're tired. And because you cannot do anything about it, you can't fix it, just take us away from it. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying. The gospel that Jesus Christ preaches is not about getting us into heaven after we die. It's all about getting heaven into us before we die. So we have a mission. We have a job to do. Get heaven into the hearts of those that are ruling us. By whatever means you can do it, through prayer, through kneeling, through intercession, through weeping and crying and travailing, through acts of kindness, through loving them, through doing whatever it takes to love them to the point where they're not irredeemable, guys. They're not. They are redeemable. Every person that's living on planet Earth today is redeemable. Redeemable. Don't ever think that they're not. In other words, Jesus wants us to recognize that our accessibility into the actual living presence of the creator of the universe is wide open right now. We do not need to wait until after we die to experience this awesome connection with God here and now. The same good news was preached by people like Paul. And all and all and on and on. They all preach about this same thing I'm talking about today. Kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink. It is in righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is what is lacking in our nation today. And that's what we need to recover. Before I close, I want us to watch a clip of what is going on in Nigeria. I will not call them the name I want to call them because that's going to be opinionated. They were wicked. I mean, to say somebody's wicked is wicked. Okay, no, it's not probably about talking about wicked. But their sons, they are potential sons of God. They didn't know that. They walked totally against the church. Destroyed everything we built in River State because of two fielding communities destroying. But out of that comes a magnificent commitment to go back and to rebuild. This was not even something that was destroyed, part of what was destroyed. But then there's this vision of we are going to establish an edifice that's going to attract people. In fact, most of the times when they were building this building here, some people were saying, we don't know what's up there. Some people that are guarding that place, they wore white clothes. Angels. They're watching over this in the midst of the fight that was going on. And here is this magnificent building to the glory of God that we're going to be going to Nigeria to dedicate. Pastor Burabari is living to Nigeria on the 24th. This is his last Sunday. Myself, Rosemary, and some other people that we're going, Barrenet's going, we're all going on 17th of March. So we have from now till March 17th. We really want to be able to, as a church, ecclesia here, to actually buy the whole seat in that auditorium. I think we should do a project like that to bless the Nigerian church. I want you to watch this quickly. Guess already? Turn off the light. No music? Now we got to get some artsy here. Hello. This was built and championed by one of the youth pastors who is actually a civil engineer. He actually designed this and built it with a number of young people in that church. To tell you that the young people are on fire for God in Nigeria. Because I don't. Okay. So this is, I'm praying that we're going to be able to get a better picture when we go and come back or even before we go. But this is the project and is shining the light in that community and bringing hope back, restore hope to the people. Because for 4 years, on that road where they built this building, nobody could go there. Bullets were flying from one community to the other. People were afraid of their lives. The place became bushy, but they had to clear it now, and that's where this work is done. It's completed now, and we're going to dedicate it to the glory of God in March. So you cannot go, but your pocket can go with us. So, yeah. And you can pray with us. And if you want to go, in case you are thinking you want to change your mind, look at that building. It just looks like a house. It's called House of Worship Prayer. Let me know. And we'll probably say maybe you should join us next time. But this time around, I think we have a full capacity going from United States and from Canada. God bless you. Let's turn on the light and let us use this opportunity to partake of this covenant meal. What we want to do this morning is that we want to exchange our strength, human strength, for the strength of God to help us in our nation. Everyone that wants to partake in this, I want it to be an exchange table where you exchange your own weakness, your own strength of in yourself. Everything that you thought you could do by yourself, exchange it and hold on. And exchange it for the power of the cross, the blood, and his broken body. Partake this morning with such conviction. And let the strength of the Almighty help us as a nation to see us see a restored Canada, not a divided Canada. We don't want a divided Canada. I am not about to move to another country. This is our country. We got to fight for the unity of this country. And we cannot. I tell you what, you give me $1 million to live in the United States, I will not. It's not my calling. It's not my place. It's a great country. But it's not for me. This is home. Let's fight for our home. Let's beautify this country with the peace of God, with the righteousness of God, and with joy unspeakable. Ushers, I want you to pass the element. Talk to the Lord this morning. Even your own self. Whatever you're doing in your own business, and things seem to be stalled. Exchange your weakness this morning for your strength. Partake and receive his strength. This covenant meal. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome. Dear God, you are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this country, Mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives. You are awesome in this place, Mighty God. Listen, before we partake finally, 2023, this last 2 years has been life, it's been about transition from one transition to the other. Mark my word, I say it with the Spirit of the Almighty God. 2023 will be the greatest breakthrough for most of us. Did you hear what I just said? Some of you look at yourself and say, how did I get to this place in 2 years? What is happening now is preparing you for 2023. Awesome breakthroughs. Awesome, awesome. You will look at yourself, you are so transformed, you don't even know it. And you'll be attracting favors. Things that you thought you could not do in the last season will not begin to do, because things will be laid out for you. That's the preparation time right now. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Come on. I am excited because I see it in my own life already. I've not touched it, but I see it. I'm almost laying my hand on it. I see, this, bring it from the future. Right now, I'm seeing it. I'm saying, wow, God. I just saw that now, just right now. So I'm releasing that to you. Go with that comfort. Exchange your weakness right now. Say, Lord, I receive your strength for my future. Let's do that together. Thank you, Lord. Come on. You are awesome in this place. Come on.
Awesome.
Let's partake together. Come on, church.
Place,
hallelujah.
Mighty
partake.
God.
Come on. Cheers. Cheers, Lord Jesus.
You are awesome in this place. Have a Father.
Oh,
you are worthy. Praise. To you our lives we raise. Abba Father.
Can we just rise and sing that?
Worthy of all praise. To you all lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
And you are worthy of our praise.
Mighty
to you all lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place,
mighty God.
Let's sing that one more time. And you are worthy. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome and wonderful time in your presence. Thank you because we grow in your strength. We are blessed and highly favored. We go out there and we release that which you have imparted us with today. Thank you because our week is blessed. We'll have the blessed of weeks. Blessed of weeks. Thank you because you've gone ahead of us. You fight our battles and we're coming back through this the week we're going into with testimonies, breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Can you just give him praise? Give him praise here in this place. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for Pastor Burabari. So service is done, but if you want to just come up front. Or stay. Okay. Did you say to stay or to come? Okay. Let's come. Those that can, let's just pray.
Let the grace of heaven, the Almighty God, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who commissioned and established them. Let him go with him. The angel of your covenant, that same angel that has never left him, that angel that prepared the way, that angel, the angelic host is watching over the work in Lewi. May that same God be your real God. May he lead you and be with you and strengthen your hands and establish that which God has committed into your hands. And Lord, to you be all the glory and praise. We apostle him right from this church as the ecclesia of God with a governmental authority to be established in that land. All they lay their hands to do will prosper to the glory and the praise of your name. Anyone?
I just pray that there will be a release of the burden that is on you right now and that you will go forth in the joy of the Lord. And it is just going to be an amazing time because the Lord is going to be your strength through it all.
And I thank you, Father, that the grace of God is over you, Burberry, and that the favor, God is preparing the favor of the Lord everywhere you go, in the airports and all the way through, Father. And we just thank you for grace and peace to multiply over Burberry in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you have chosen him for this time, God, for Nigeria, Lord, to rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon them. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Burberry, may the angel of his presence follow you. Go wherever you go. Spread it to the people around you. And I decree and declare, Father, that you will have an awesome powerful time in Nigeria.
If anyone still wants to do, you want to give towards the Nigerian trip, you can just drop your envelope there today, next week, and you know.
I saw an image of a basket of potatoes, and it had a big padlock on it. And just when I thought of potatoes, I don't know if anyone's seen that movie. It's an older movie, Faith Like Potatoes. But within it, the message is just that faith, a lot of times, is just like you can't see a potato grow. You can't see really what is growing underneath. But you just have to have faith that God is working, and that He's going to produce the fruit. And when you lift it up, when the season is right, and it's time to pull it out of the ground, God is going to deliver the full promise of what He's declared. And so I saw a basket of that, and the lock just. It was there, but I don't want to shift the image of what God was showing me, and you know, try and push what was actually being shown. The lock was there. I don't know if the lock was off or coming off, but I believe there's a time and a season that that lock will fall, and those potatoes will be there. They'll be ready and full, and that God is delivering His full promise with everything that He has shown you, Barbie, those potatoes were also, they became loaves of bread. And I think I saw an image of Jesus breaking those potatoes that became bread, and it was His spirit, and it was multiplying, and it was feeding crowds. So He's just, you know, that faith is there. He is thankful for all of the faithfulness that you've had with Him. And that time is coming, I believe, soon. So thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and I just seen a gas tank, and I just seen almost like a log being recorded of you being refueled. And I just sense that the Lord is saying that you are going to go in His strength. You are going to be refueled. You are going to be refilled. This is not, as we heard all through this service, by our own strength. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. So we just speak a supernatural refilling into you in the name of Jesus. And we come into agreement with the mandate that God has for you on this earth as it is in heaven. And we call in that supernatural divine refilling in the name of Jesus. Words are going to come to you. Clarity is going to come to you. And it's by His mantling, by His grace, His refueling in Jesus' name.
I know the work that you've done in Nigeria and how you have labored, and that all of a sudden it was all destroyed. And the scripture that I got for you is in Psalm 30. He will turn for you your mourning into dancing. He shall take off your sackcloth, and He will gird you with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Him and not be silent. You'll be dancing. O Lord, my God, we will give thanks unto you forever. In Jesus' name.